And this hour, we will talk with Rosemary Ellen Guiley about dreams. Next hour, we'll just open up the phone lines, check in with us on ghosts, demons, and dreams. And she doesn't quite interpret dreams to tell you how to set your life. We kind of qualify that all the time, but she does a pretty darn good job telling you what's going on in your life, that's for sure. Back in a moment with Rosemary Ellen Guiley on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Rosemary, a long time ago in a far-off land, you came up with the Encyclopedia of Dreams. How did that all start for you?
It started out, again, because of childhood experiences in unusual dreaming. And a lot of these really centered with my mother because she had a lot of psychic dreams, precognitive dreams, usually about unhappy things that were going to happen. Some of them were personal. Some of them were on a larger scale. Big events in the news. This fascinated me, that you could dream the future. When I was in my early teens, I started experimenting with my dreams. I got books on extrasensory perception, how to develop it, how to try to train yourself to do things while you dream, like visit distant places, do astral travel, send messages to people, and also get messages to people and see the future. I discovered that I had a lot of success with this. It was never 100%, but it was enough to demonstrate to me that dreams are an amazing vehicle that break us out of this reality. They transcend time and space. If we pay attention to our dreams, we can have some extraordinary experiences in other realities. Even the ancients believed this, that dreams were the gateway to the realms of the gods. And we can certainly learn a lot about ourselves. They provide information to us that help us with our decisions, our turning points in life. They are literally a mirror of truth to us.
A friend of mine called me today, and she said that she has not recalled her dreams for the last several weeks, maybe month. And then she started taking some natural supplements, and she said now she's recalling her dreams every night. And she said she feels more rested because she can remember her dreams. Why is that? Why would she feel more rested now?
I think that there is an enormous healing component to dreams. They're also necessary to our equilibrium, our balance. It's been demonstrated, even in the scientific literature, that if we deprive people of certain periods of dreaming sleep, it affects us mentally, psychologically, even physically, if it goes on long enough. So there's something about dreaming that works to restore us, not just from a physiological perspective, but from a spiritual, emotional, and mental perspective, too. However, it's not unusual to go for long periods of time without remembering your dreams. I think that we dream even if we don't remember them. Sometimes they get pushed into the background if we're under a lot of stress. But we can recover that, as your friend did, with the natural supplements. There are a lot of things that you can try, techniques or herbs, for example, that can kind of give you a kick back into that remembering mode again.
I sometimes wonder, Rosemary, if we're living in a dream. If this existence right now, you sitting here in the studio, me here, our day-to-day lives, if the whole thing is just a dream.
It could very well be, and the argument has been made for a very long time in esoteric philosophies that the dream is the real, quote-unquote, reality, and reality is really the illusory dream. We don't really know about what our consciousness is capable of experiencing and in what kind of reality we might have. Our consciousness may travel to all kinds of realities and have experiences that would translate to dreams as us, but have their own reality and validity. I think the dream world has its own reality, its own ground rules, so to speak.
Wouldn't it be interesting if when someone dies, you know, we see them die around us, if perhaps they just took themselves out of the dream and that dying was really living and that they simply woke up, or they just said they didn't want to be in this kind of dream anymore, and they're gone. And that, you know, the dying process really is a way of getting the person out of the dream. Weird, huh?
It sounds weird, but actually it might be a reality that we experience as part of our multidimensional selves.
There are various stages of dreaming, and I want to go through some of those because people can use them in their everyday lives to improve themselves. I have. I'm sure you have, too. You can go to sleep and let your dream state, let your subconscious mind go to work for you while you're sleeping. It's amazing. How many things can we do in our lives, Rosemary, where you physically don't have to be there to do it? You can just let it work by itself. You wake up in the morning. Generally, the problem's been solved, or whatever you're trying to accomplish has been done. I use it all the time. What kind of dreaming is that, first of all? When you go to sleep, think of something like, I want a better career, or I want a better relationship, or whatever, and it happens.
It's dream incubation or dream programming.
Okay.
That you set your intention. You ask your dreams in a proactive way to help sort something out. Dreams have an amazing power to do just as you described, do all this work while the waking mind is out of the way. All the shoulds, the coulds, the would-haves, might-haves, ought-tos that occupy us while we're waking are out of the way. And the dreaming consciousness accesses a deep truth within us. And I think also it's like radar that goes out into the time-space landscape to examine forces in motion, probabilities, possibilities, desirable outcomes, undesirable outcomes, and it helps us set our course corrections.
Can people inject themselves into someone else's dream state?
Yes, they can. I think that it's probably rather difficult for a lot of people to do that. The magical techniques for dream sending and dream visitation have been in place for centuries. Some people seem to be able to master these techniques quite well. It's probably just as well that it may not happen all that often because dream invasion could be very disruptive and unsettling, and of course people would want to manipulate that.
Well, and it could be unsettling for both parties if it's not done intentionally, too. Is that possible? You accidentally stumbled into someone's dream? Maybe you were thinking of them before you went to bed, and all of a sudden you're in their dream state.
There are many cases in the dream literature where people have accidentally found themselves visiting someone else while they're dreaming, or two people, for example, meeting in a dream, you know, having a mutual dream. Other people try to do it deliberately. I have dealt with people who feel that they are being invaded in their dreams by hostile people who want to control them and manipulate them, and they're having nightmares.
Precognitive dreams. Tell me about that.
Precognitive dreams are dreams that see the future. This is a natural human function, and it seems that we often get very clear pictures of events that are going to happen, and sometimes we only get pieces of events that are going to happen. There have been many attempts to try and harness precognitive dreaming to avert things like natural disasters and, you know, for example, something like 9/11. After the fact, many people felt that they had precognitive.
My daughter had one. She had one. She told me about it in advance. She didn't know what it was. She called me one day. This is at least a week or so before it happened. And she said, Dad, I had the strangest dream. And she's very good at this, by the way. And I said, well, Wendy, what was it? And she said, I had a dream that I was walking in this big, big city with huge buildings. And, you know, I'm pretty sure it was here in the United States. And I looked up, Dad, and there was nothing but dust and particles falling down on me. And when I looked down at my feet, I was standing in like 6 inches of ash. Now, when she said that to me, the first thing I thought about was some volcano has erupted. And, you know, something horrible has happened. And, you know, we were doing shows on the Canary Islands in the possibility of La Palma, you know, falling into the ocean, creating a tsunami. And, you know, I didn't know if maybe, you know, that had something to do with it because she listens to the show a lot. But it was incredible. And then a week later, you know, she's the one who woke me up in the morning to tell me about what was going on in New York. And she said, Dad, remember my dream. And she said some of the pictures that she had seen of people running with particles in the air. She said it looked just like that to her. And isn't that amazing?
It really is. And in fact, the nuclear winter dream scenario seems to have happened to a lot of people. Many people reported these kinds of dreams of like the gray ashes falling through the air, standing in the ash, tall buildings falling down. People even dreamed of planes crashing into tall buildings. But nobody had the whole picture that on September 11th, 2001, this was going to happen in New York City at a certain time in a certain manner. So there's a certain amount of frustration with people who have precognitive dreams because they wonder, well, if I got part of the picture, why didn't I get the whole picture so that maybe something could have been done? And why we only dream part of it, nobody really knows. Clearly, we're picking up on something. I think that there's a critical mass factor to a lot of events, and there's that point where the forces in motion heading toward an event are so strong that the event has to happen. And I think that's when people begin to pick up on it precognitively, that it's something that's going to happen, and it's probably not going to be averted.
It makes us time travelers, though, doesn't it?
It does, yes. Dreams are literally vehicles that take us through time, as well as space.
True. Is it a form of remote viewing?
It can be, yes. You can program yourself to go to a distant location and observe activities there or characteristics. This is one of the experiments that I did when I was a teenager that I would try and set it up as a little test so I could validate things like make an agreement to visit somebody's home, for example, and describe what I saw and then validate that description later.
Some of my favorite kind of dreams, lucid dreaming, dreams that we know in the dream that we're in the dream, that it's a dream. You can change the outcome of it, can't you?
You can, yes. Lucid dreaming is probably the most exciting form of dreaming because you feel exhilarated, you feel very powerful, you have supernormal powers like levitation and flying.
Right.
Your mind thinks in crystal clear ways. You can instantly be almost anywhere you want. Some people have a much easier time holding on to lucidity, but yes, you can literally direct the course of a dream instead of being the passive recipient of the action. You can make things happen.
I always tend to wake up before I've been able to change the outcome of the dream, and that always gets to me because, you know, I know I'm in a dream and I'm saying to myself, I'm in a lucid dream. In my dream, I'm saying that to myself. And just before I have a chance to have some fun in this thing, I wake up.
That often happens, that as soon as people realize they're lucid, the lucidity goes away. People can train themselves to hang on to lucidity longer. And again, it just seems to vary with the individual. Some people are very skilled and have a natural talent for it, and other people have very few lucid dreams, and they're very short.
Have you ever had anyone who's able to wake up and then they go back to bed again and pick up the dream from where they left off?
Yes, I run into that quite a
bit. Really?
Yes. I consider those individuals very fortunate.
I had heard that the government, Rosemary, years ago, as they experimented with remote viewing, also experimented with something even more devastating, evil, and that was to try to send people into some government leader's dreams to try to let them die of heart attacks and things like that. Have you ever heard that?
I've heard those stories, and I simply don't know if you know what the truth factor is there. But I can say that the techniques and the concepts for doing that sort of thing have existed since ancient times. And in the magical literature, these things are possible. And if you have the right level of skill, you theoretically can carry them out.
Dangerous.
It is dangerous, and I think it's fortunate that these abilities are not available to everyone, or there would be a lot of chaos.
One of the greatest dream stories I've ever heard occurred when someone called this program some time ago and talked about how he was dreaming of a woman that he did not know, and he said... I mean, he really liked her in his dreams, but he didn't know her, and he woke up, and that was it. One day, he was at an airport, and he said, my God, I saw this woman that I had been dreaming about coming toward me. And he said it was the weirdest thing. And he said as I approached her, she stopped and looked at me because she had a dream about meeting him. She didn't know him either. And the two of them got together. I guess they've been married since. Great story.
That kind of dream encounter does occur, and it's reported in, for example, the soulmate literature, that people dream of their lovers and spouses long before they met them. It's almost like that's the way they have to find each other first. It's a radar thing that gets set up. There are other cases, too, where people have mutual dreaming, where they share a dream with somebody they know, maybe even casually. Unless you talk about your dreams, you really don't know whether or not that happens. And sometimes people are puzzled, like, why am I sharing a dream with so-and-so? And here again, we simply don't know enough about dreaming consciousness, how these points of intersection occur. But clearly, we're all out there traveling these dream astral byways at night, and we're probably having more points of intersection than we realize.
Do you think that people in their dream state can truly convince somebody else to do something, albeit a relationship or a potential boss, and you know he ends up calling you for a job? Can you do that? Can you concentrate on somebody, go to bed, and then, for the good now, not evil, and then something like that happens?
Theoretically, and especially in the magical literature, this sort of thing would be possible. In fact, one of the ancient examples of dream sending concerns the birth of the hero Alexander, mm-hmm. that his parents were influenced in dreams, you know, to conceive him so that he could be brought into the world. My feeling is that you're not really going to be able to influence someone to do something that is they're not inclined to do or that they're opposed to doing.
You might be able to plant the seed, though.
We could plant a seed or perhaps have limited influence, but in terms of, like, taking over somebody and controlling them and manipulating them.
You can't do that.
They would have to be very porous and malleable, I think, for that to happen.
When you were younger, tell me the truth here, did you ever stare at the back of someone's head trying to get them to turn around?
I did experiment with that,
me
yes.
Too.
And that whole phenomenon of being stared at, knowing that you're being stared at, has been written about in the parapsychological literature. And if someone is staring at you and you're not actually looking in their eyes, but you have this uncanny sense that...
You can feel it.
Yes, you can. There's
Like we have a third eye back there somewhere.
Well, in esoteric thought, there's this powerful energy that streams out of the eyes. And this is how a lot of spiritual masters transfer power and knowledge to their pupils. It comes through the eyes. It also comes out of the mouth and the breath.
I would used to have a kick doing that. And then one of my buddies said, George, it doesn't work. I said, what do you mean it doesn't work? It worked. Look. He said, no, it doesn't work because you didn't stop staring at the person. I mean, they had to turn around eventually. Who knows? Let's take
Skeptic.
Some phone calls when we come back. We'll open up the phone lines. We'll talk about dreams. You don't quite interpret dreams, but you do tell people what's going on. So we'll do that. And then also demons, ghosts, share your stories with us. That's next. And we've got Rosemary Ellen Guiley here for just another hour and a half before she has to skedaddle. And I'll be going to Vancouver tomorrow morning. And then when I come back Sunday, I'll start telling you about another event coming up in March in Los Angeles that has to do with 2012 that you will love to participate in if you're out here in the L.A. area. Back in a moment with phone calls now on Coast to Coast AM. Rosemary, when is your work on demons complete?
My Encyclopedia of Demons will be out in September.
September
it is. The manuscript is completed. It's in production now. Be out for Halloween.
Okay. Well, we'll plan on something right around that time period. Did you find out anything that would scare us?
Out of all the encyclopedias I've done, I would say it was the most interesting. Just a lot of bizarre entities. people's encounters with entities, how human beings have attempted to engage with the demonic side. It was a fascinating exploration of a very dark underbelly of the occult.
You do a lot of research before you write your books, and you come across a lot of different things and facts and figures. What do you think? And you know what? We'll talk about it in September. But this demonic world to me is fascinating. I don't want to dabble in it, but you know, the difference between good and evil, this balance that seems to be in this universe, it's so prevalent, and I just can't figure out why we have to have that kind of balance. Why can't we just have good? Why do we have to have evil to balance it out?
For reasons that we don't understand, our slice of the multiverse is one of polarities and opposites.
On everything.
Everything. And it's the law of correspondences that you've got one quality on one side and its exact opposite on the other as this balance. And there is this constant tension back and forth, but it's never in a state of complete equilibrium. It's always one side has a domination over the other, and then the balance tilts again. Seems to be part of our evolution, I think.
Do you remember back in 1997, I told you of my dream phobia that you cured me of? And I'm going to just refresh your memory. I always had this nightmarish dream. I needed 128 credit hours to graduate from the University of Detroit, get my BA degree in communications. And I worked full-time during the day. I went to school at night during the last 2.5 years of my college. And I graduated with 128 credits, exactly what I needed. No more, no less, 128. But I had to work my tail off to make sure that I got that. I would wake up. Now you're remembering this?
Mm-hmm.
I would wake up twice a week in a cold sweat that I had finished, but I missed my credit by one, that I had 127 credits. It was so bad, Rosemary, that I would put my diploma next to me on the stand. And then one day you just cured me and it went away, and I've never had that dream since.
That's a very common type of anxiety dream. People have a lot of anxiety dreams about being in control, staying on top of things, being adequate, measuring up, and a certain theme in a dream can apply to situations where we begin to feel out of control, mm-hmm. or not able to manage things the way we'd ideally like. And quite often, even just recognizing that causes that pattern to diminish or go away.
And I'm glad it went away, because that really, for me, it was a frightening dream.
And they're draining,
yeah,
too. They drain us of a lot of our psychic and creative energy.
Yep. Now I don't even know where my diploma is anymore. It's somewhere. Let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up. First of all, we'll go to Steve, driving around in Arizona. Welcome to Coast. Hi, Steven.
Good morning, George and Rosemary. How you folks doing?
Great.
I appreciate your show. You keep us awake out here at night on the road sometimes.
Super.
Rosemary, if I could, a question.
Sure.
About dreaming. I'm going to call this person Betty Sue. It's a real person, not a real name. And I knew this. My ex-wife and I lived in New England, up in Massachusetts, and I knew this. We knew this couple, a guy and a girl, from the late 70s and right up until around 90-92 area, where I went through a divorce and left New England and lived in New York for a reason of family. I had custody of the kids and everything, and then from there we moved on to Kansas and everything. Never gave anybody in New England a second thought other than the fact they were past friends, et cetera, et cetera. Never had touch with any of them or anything, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward 16 years, up about the past year, I've been in Texas for about 4 years with my daughters, right? And all of a sudden, I start dreaming about Betty Sue. And it got to the point where it was so frequent and so predominant that I'd catch myself waking up going, why am I dreaming about Betty Sue? And in my dreams, they're pleasant dreams. I'm enjoying her company. I'm enjoying being with her. She was never anybody that I gave any second. You know, it's not like we liked each other in secret when we were living in New England and knew each other and like that, you know. And I got to tell you, in the past year, I've probably dreamed about this individual, I would say, a couple dozen times. if not more.
What's happening, Rosemary?
And got any take on that?
There are several possibilities, and I do want to preface this by saying that my suggestions are oriented toward helping people find their own meaning in dreams.
That means kids don't do this at home, right?
Yeah, ultimately, the dreamers have to arrive at their own meaning. But sometimes when we dream of somebody from the past that we've had no contact with, it's connecting with an emotion that was prevalent at the time. That we knew that person that relates to a situation in the present. And you're describing these dreams as pleasant. I take it the relationship with them was pleasant. So there may be a similar situation that you had with her back then that is occurring in your life now.
Yeah, I'm not currently seeing anybody. I focused on raising my kids for 15 years. My youngest just joined the Army, and then I focused on driving trucks and raising and still being there for my oldest, who has a minor learning disability, still living with
me. Good for you, Steve. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, don't think of it so much as a relationship with a person, but it's the emotion. It's the emotion you're feeling. And see if you can relate that to something happening in your life now.
I guess I've kind of been sad and lonely as far as not having. I mean, when I went through the divorce, I lost who I wanted. She was great, and I had some things to learn through that. But I think I can welcome myself to the husband race in that regard. But I do recall that this person. I remember thinking to myself that her husband was a lucky fellow. But that's as far as it went. I never let my feelings known. I never grew an infatuation with her or anything. I was married to my ex at the time, and I was happy with that. And like I said, in the past year or so, there's been I'm not. You mentioned not necessarily a relationship with anybody. I'm just trying to relate to think if there's anything. The only thing I could think of is that I have been kind of lonely and sad for missing a relationship. I guess that. You know, I'm 56, and I'm getting to thinking, gee, is this going to be the rest of my life, you know? That.
Well, here's a couple of final thoughts on this, Stephen, is that it's not so much Betty Sue. Other people represent qualities, characteristics, attributes, emotions, those sorts of things. It's not about Betty Sue. So if I were to project onto your dream, I would say, you know, maybe you're in a state of emotional readiness now to engage with someone, and you're calling up those emotions of pleasantness and happiness concerning, a potential partner.
I've got a beautiful little one-year-old grandson back in St. Louis to go with my beautiful granddaughters. 1 year old. Does he dream?
The indications are that infants do dream, and very small children. In fact, they spend quite a bit of their sleeping time in REM states, and those are highly in dream-intensive states. Is he ever going to remember those dreams? Very few people remember dreams earlier than age 3.
That's a good point. Good point. First-time caller in Las Vegas, Nevada. Let's go to Vanessa. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hi, Rosemary. First, I'd like to say, George, my husband and I, we love your show, and my husband would love to talk to you about a subject matter that is different than today's. But, Rosemary, I have a question regarding astral projection.
Okay.
I used to have the ability to astral project. Now, all of a sudden, I am unable to astral project. That's my first question. My second question is, have you ever heard of someone starting off in a dream state and then going into an out-of-body experience? Because I've had that experience several times before.
Yes, it does happen quite frequently. In fact, some people feel that the very act of dreaming itself is an out-of-body experience. I've had it myself where I have been dreaming, and then suddenly I realize that I am literally projecting out of my body. There's a physiological change, intense vibration, electrical feelings buzzing in the ears, and I can feel myself exit the body. It's almost like I sort of come semi-awake in the dream in order to feel this out-of-body projection. But lucid dreaming may very well be a type of OBE.
In a very old book called Projection of the Astral Body by Hayward Carrington and Sylvan Muldoon, they would write that people could practice to wake up in their dream state in their astral bodies. And if they did that on a regular basis, they could astral project anytime they wanted.
People have been able to do that. Oliver Fox was another one. He called lucid dreaming the dream of knowledge, learning how to take himself out of body and do lots of things in the dream state. And, of course, the most famous recent example is Bob Monroe.
Yes,
who learned
the
how,
late Bob Monroe.
Yes, unfortunately. Yeah. But he certainly left us a legacy of wisdom about how to project out of body during that hypnagogic state, mm-hmm. Where you're just in that twilight where you're not quite asleep, but you're not awake either.
A lot of people with practice can astral project. I've only had one when I was 11 years old, and that was it. Haven't been able to do it since. I've looked at the techniques of many guests that we've had who have done some marvelous things. Just doesn't seem to work for me. How come?
You literally have to experiment until you find something that works for you. And I've had the same sort of thing where I've tried techniques that other people say, you know, will practically guarantee a certain kind of experience, and they don't for me. But in the course of experimenting, I think you sort of find your own way and maybe even stumble upon things that work. For example, I had this email inquiry a little bit ago on, what kinds of supplements would help in dreaming. And one of the things that I stumbled on accidentally that worked quite well for me was catnip tea. If I drank catnip tea, and I do this.
What is that?
It's tea made out of catnip. It's not toxic to human beings. And
sure?
You can get it at health food stores and even in a lot of grocery stores. But
I've heard you meowing lately.
If I drink catnip tea before I go to sleep, I am more prone to have lucid dreaming than other times, and that works for me better than any other herbal supplement I've ever tried. Now, other people have fantastic results with meditative techniques, visualization, sleeping in certain positions. Mm-hmm. So you just, if you're dedicated to learning about this, you just have to try things until you hit on what works.
Let's go to Sand Springs, Oklahoma, east of the Rockies. TJ, it's your turn. Hi, TJ.
How you doing, George?
Good. Not bad.
First of all, I'd just like to say that me and my wife are great, big fans of you and Ian Punnett. I mean, we love the show and everything, and we're actually relatively new listeners. We just started listening to you guys about a year ago.
Well, thank you, and thank her, too.
Rosemary, I had a question. I kind of have a little story that leads up to my question.
Sure.
You mentioned that your EVP box had, started bringing about shadow people.
Yes.
I had an experience as a child. I was about 8 years old, and I saw a shadow person, which freaked me out. I got up out of a dead sleep, sat up in my bed, and I looked into my bedroom. Was right across the hall from the bathroom. And as soon as I got up, I saw my dad get up out of his room. He walked down the hall and went to the bathroom. And as soon as he shut the bathroom door, I saw the shadow person right there on the bathroom door, and he just literally creeped across the wall like he was trying not to be seen at all by me. And he noticed I saw him, and then he sped up, and he disappeared. That freaked me. That's been freaking me out ever since. But on a different note, though, I've been very interested in EVP recently, and I had no idea that those two were connected in any way. And I had a question, since if that brings them about, do you unintentionally invite them maybe to, by doing that work, do you see them now, in your home? I mean, do they just start, does that bring them out in any intentional way?
They haven't been showing up in my home because I don't do this kind of research work in my home. I haven't noticed this phenomenon with anything else other than these ITC real-time communication devices. It's never happened to me with just using, for example, a digital recorder and putting a recorder out for EVP.
Uh-huh.
There seems to be something about this real-time communication or whatever subtle energy field might be generated by ITC that attracts shadow people and enables them to come through into the physical world. It doesn't happen every time, but I've noticed it periodically, and to me, there's a connection there. When it happens every now and then, they show up in mirrors, or I start seeing them in the room. When the device is turned off, then they seem to lose their energy pattern and they go away.
Okay, well, that's because, see, I've I realize this is probably something that should be left to experts, but I've always kind of wanted to experiment with EVP, but after you mentioned that, I'm not so sure I want to now, because that is an experience I never want to happen to me again. Even if I were to experiment with that, as far as amateur goes, I mean, would you suggest that, or is it just something that should be best left to professionals?
I think any time that you have reservations about something, it's best not to pursue it, because when you're working with a paranormal, you need to come at it from the standpoint that you have to have confidence in your ability to operate in this field.
Yeah.
And it sounds like maybe you're not ready to do that yet. Yeah.
Probably not, especially since you mentioned that. In fact, I'm pretty set on not doing it then. Before I get off, I have one final parting thought to bestow upon you as far as the dreaming aspect. What if this entire universe and the world that we live in is God's dream, and when he wakes up, that's the end?
Ooh.
Very complex, and, just something to think about. And
very tough to contemplate.
Now I can't go to sleep, TJ.
I'm sorry, I just had to throw that out there.
All right.
Thanks, George. Thanks, Rosemary. Appreciate it.
Rosemary's website, by the way, visionaryliving.com. People can email you through that website, right?
They absolutely can, and I'm still collecting shadow people experiences.
I'm glad you said experiences. I thought for a moment you had them in jars or something in your house.
Well, you never know. capturing a shadow person, I think, would be quite a feat.
That would be a great TV show. Captured a shadow person. And the person releases them and lets them out into the world. Sounds
to
like
wreak
a little
havoc.
Twilight Zone a little bit, huh?
Well, actually, there was a Twilight Zone episode called The Shadow Man. It was in the Twilight Zone remakes from
That's
the
right.
1980s. And whoever wrote the script for that was an experiencer. You could just tell from the way the shadow, what they had the shadow person do.
Well, definitely feel free to email Rosemary, because every time somebody calls me with a question about many of the things she talks about, I just refer them to your website, visionaryliving.com. Back in a moment with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. If you're on hold, don't hang up. You'll lose your place. One more final hour with her of calls on Coast to Coast AM.